How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love.
If you've been watching a little debate that's been taking place between Marco Rubio and the Washington Post, you might have been a little confused. Rubio says, look, it's settled science, a complete consensus and unanimity that life begins at conception. That is when sperm meets egg. And he's on very solid scientific ground there, although the Washington Post, in responding to him, seems to take a different view. Are we watching politics versus science as the Washington Post covers abortion? Joining us to talk about this story, tell us a little more detail about it, is Molly Ziegler Hemingway. She's a senior editor at The Federalist, and she's also author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, The Washington Post is Super Confused About Where Babies Come From. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here.
What occasioned this piece in The Washington Post that you've written about, and what about the piece itself did you find so remarkable?
Yeah, so last week, Senator Marco Rubio took some heat. He was saying that he was skeptical about certain aspects of global warming activism and whether the policies that some people had proposed would actually do anything. And people flipped out in the media, and they called him a science denier, a climate change denier, the sort of whole rigmarole. So he was giving a radio interview, and he was asked about this, and he said, I've got an example of people being unwilling to accept settled science. And he said, the science is settled. It's not even a consensus. It's a unanimity that human life begins at conception. So I hope the next time that someone wags their finger about science, they'll ask one of these leaders on the left, do you agree with the consensus of scientists that say human life begins at conception? I'd like to see someone ask that question. So he kind of turned it back on the people who had been flipping out over what he had said about climate change. And what's interesting about it is that what he said was true. There's consensus about when human life begins. It's almost a cliche. You say human life begins when it begins, and it begins at conception. And it's also true that nobody's ever asked about it. But because he's a big senator and because they'd all flipped out over what he had said about climate change, you saw some media outlets kind of take him on this. And what was amazing was how poorly they did it. I mean, they didn't handle it well.
Okay, so there's a little sleight of hand that you noticed in the Washington Post piece where they substituted when life begins with something else and tried to build their case against Rubio and I guess against everybody who believes that life begins at conception. What did they do there?
Well, first of all, I just point out Marco Rubio didn't talk about abortion. He didn't talk about personhood. He just talked about a basic scientific fact that human life begins at conception. So I was on Twitter, and I saw that one of the reporters there had tweeted out a link. It said, Marco Rubio demanded people look at the science on abortion. So we did. And you go to the piece, and it says, we spoke with an expert who didn't agree with Marco Rubio. And you read the article, and it's amazing. They were apparently confused about what Rubio had said, which is when life begins. And they talked to a pro-choice organization about when pregnancy begins. And some people, not all, but some people have tried to sort of say that, yes, even though the embryo is starting somewhere else, it's not until it implants in the lining of the mother's uterine wall that we will say that a pregnancy starts. It's kind of a bizarre thing to begin with, but it has nothing to do with what Marco Rubio said, which is when does human life begin, not when does human life implant into its mother's uterine wall or anything like that. So they wrote this smug, snarky piece about how Marco Rubio was actually wrong because pregnancy, according to some people, starts at this later date. And they even tried to call his office demanding a correction or something or an updated response. And and that's what they wrote. It was just amazing. I mean, it is scientifically illiterate.
So in other words, they substituted the question, when does pregnancy begin, which is a little fuzzier question than when does life begin, because pregnancy has a broader definition than life. I mean, you're either alive or you're not. They're going to say, when does pregnancy begin? And number two, it sounds like they cherry-picked some experts who were willing to go along with the fuzzy question, probably knowing full well that the real question was, when does life begin?
Well, if you wanted to fact-check whether it is true that human life begins when it begins at conception, you would talk to embryologists or scientists who study that field. They didn't talk to anybody like that. They talked to a very pro-abortion OBGYN group, and then they didn't even ask them the relevant question. They didn't ask them, when does human life begins, or they allowed them to just respond with, when do they say pregnancy begins? And because of their partisan interest, they wouldn't be the best people to ask that question anyway. There was a lot of confusion on the part of the Washington Post. What's amazing about it, I wrote a very lengthy piece sort of explaining the scientific consensus on when human life begins, you know, quoting various embryologists and textbooks and linking to lists upon lists upon lists of people talking about when human life begins. I put a video in there that shows it's sort of like a video for dummies who don't understand what conception is, that shows what happens when the sperm and the egg meet. And I put all this work into it, and they still haven't updated the piece. They haven't corrected it. And I find that just very disappointing.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest. She's a senior editor at The Federalist, and she's authored a recent column for The Federalist titled, The Washington Post is Super Confused About Where Babies Come From. When we come back about another 10 minutes with her talking about politics versus science in the Washington Post coverage of abortion, then we'll turn to the subject of liturgical art. Kelly Schumacher, founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts, based in St. Louis, will be our guest. That's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., straight ahead in 5 minutes.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Good golly, Miss Molly, sure like the ball. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking politics versus science in the Washington Post's recent coverage of abortion and a comment by Marco Rubio. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest, senior editor at The Federalist. In a few minutes, we'll talk liturgical art with Kelly Schumacher, founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts based in St. Louis. Molly, what do you think is driving, really driving, this kind of response on the part of the Washington Post, where they say, look, we've got science on our side, and then they proceed to prove that they really don't? What's really driving it?
Okay, I really cannot speak for another reporter, and I have tried to engage him repeatedly in email and on Twitter, and he's not responding to me, so I really can't speak for him. I have no idea why he's not correcting his piece. But I do think if you look at the larger media environment, what you have here is I think people kind of understand that if you were to openly acknowledge when human life begins in our media, that that might mean that the way that our media handles the abortion issue would be shown to be impoverished. And so I think people sort of reflexively shy away from talking about the scientific facts about what we know about human development and what that means about different forms of abortifacients and abortion that are in the news. And so you saw this not just in the Washington Post, but New York Times and MSNBC, they all really struggled with just dealing with the reality of what Marco Rubio said. Now, it's also true that Marco Rubio talking about the basic scientific fact that human life begins at conception, as it does for all sexually reproductive organisms, that they sense that there's something about abortion there. And they're just, I don't know, they're just struggling with it because of that, I think.
Okay, so what I'm imagining is if they had been really bold, and they would have had to have been bold to do this, they would have made the Washington Post headline something like, Rubio believes life begins at conception, what a dope, and then gone on to cite things. But they wouldn't have had, I mean, I think you mentioned this a moment ago, you wouldn't have had a scientific foot to stand on there because you didn't get a chance to change the question, did you?
Right. And actually, one of the things that's really interesting about this, and this is another thing that has been really poorly handled in our media, is that they don't understand that even this question of when does pregnancy begin, that is an extremely political question that was intentionally the way we define pregnancy was intentionally changed in response to intrauterine device technology, which was developing midway through the previous century. When people realized that IUDs partially worked by preventing conception, but also if that failed, they worked by preventing implantation of the human embryo. They tried to change the definition of pregnancy so that you could say, well, this is something that prevents pregnancy, which in the common mind would mean prevents the forming of a human being, right? So if you change the definition of pregnancy to start after implantation, then all of a sudden you can make it easier to market something that does kill by preventing implantation, a human embryo after it has already started.
In your opinion, how long can this go on? This kind of you stop an embryologist on the street and he'll just stare at you blankly and say, well, of course it begins at conception. That's when sperm meets egg. That's when life begins. Stop the average American on the street, and they'll say, well, I thought that the Supreme Court said we really couldn't answer that question back in 1973. How long does the legacy of Roe go on poisoning the minds and good science in America?
Well, I don't know, because it does seem that if you control the discourse, if you control the language, if you prevent people from knowing basic scientific facts, basic terminology that applies to all of our shared existence, I mean, that's a really good way to change people's minds and take them away from sort of natural reality or natural knowledge. And I worry. I mean, I think it could go on for a while. And also, I think people sort of want to believe differently than what the reality is. They want to be able to prevent babies from being born, and they want to kind of feel okay about how they're doing it, or they want to control fertility in certain ways, and they want to feel okay about how they're doing it. So if people tell them things that allow them to feel good about it, I think they're not inclined to receive the truth of these things. I could be overly pessimistic about this because, of course, technology is improving at such a rate that it's impossible to keep these realities from people. You can find YouTube videos, you can find, your textbooks online and whatnot that tell the truth about these things. So, I don't know.
Well, speak for yourself finally here with about a minute and a half or so. What did Rubio either intentionally or unintentionally put his finger on that is essential to two issues in the United States? One, the now four-decade-plus debate on human life. Number two, the now four-decade-plus blind eye that the press continues to turn to the issue.
There's so many things about it. I think he shined a bright light on the failures of our mainstream media to deal with this issue honestly or with any integrity. I mean, I think it's funny that this was in the Washington Post, the same publication that claimed just a year ago that they didn't cover Kermit Gosnell because it was a local crime story. He was the abortionist who was eventually convicted of various crimes dealing with his serial murder of very young children. So I think that Rubio just really nailed them on their hypocrisy on this. I mean, there's such hypocrisy with which the media claim that there is nothing other than scientific consensus on every single aspect of climate change, and they use it to sort of bully and promote a very particular socioeconomic agenda. But then when it's something that really there is consensus on, such as where human life begins, all of a sudden they're really confused and they're blurry and they're speaking out of all different sides of their mouth. And so I think he really showed the hypocrisy of our mainstream media and some of our cultural elites on the way we handle science, whereas we make some science do far more than it really should be held accountable for, and then we hide the science that we feel uncomfortable with.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "The Washington Post is Super Confused About Where Babies Come From." You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, keep up the good work, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the church's art, liturgical art, the kind of art that belongs in worship. Kelly Schumacher will be our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 21st. Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.